It's Friday, February 27th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. We've made it through another exciting week of marijuana law reform news. The hits just keep on coming, and we're glad you're a part of it. Now, you may have noticed a few little redesigns on the Stash blog at stash.normal.org. We've added RSS feeds, those little orange buttons you can click to download the news automatically to your computer or embed them in your web page. Not only is there an RSS feed for the entire Stash, but one for each category. So if, say, for example, you only want the Reefer Madness stories to show up, you can subscribe to just those. Check them out on the left side of the Stash, all the way toward the bottom, the category RSS feeds for the Normal Daily Audio Stash. And another Stash blog news, you registered Stashers, you know that you can log into the blog and see content that's not available to the general public. Well, we've got a great announcement to make about that. We just registered Stasher number 420. Yes, congratulations to Stasher, whose ID number is 420, going by the username of Sharpie. You're Stasher number 420, and if you'll send me your t-shirt size and a place to ship it to, I'll get you a retro 70s normal t-shirt in the mail for being Stasher number 420. And in other Stash news, we were excited to be quoted and noted by the NBC affiliate in Los Angeles, who quoted me, Radical Russ, regarding the Eric Holder announcement. And my quote was how I said, February 25th, 2009 is the beginning of the end of adult marijuana prohibition. I'm so glad they didn't catch that when I first wrote it. I had a major typo in it. Also, Stasher Mr. Spoff has another excellent post up on the blog, this one with a look into a congressional report on the state of marijuana laws in America. It's really good reading and some great ammunition for your next drug war debate. All right, on today's audio stash, we've got Steve Bloom, the former editor of High Times Magazine and the current webmaster at celebstoner.com, joining us for the Celebrity Cannabis Entertainment Report. For our musical break, It's a Rap Friday, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com. DJ Slim's in the house with I Wanna Be High. And then in our final interview segment, we sit down with Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal, to reflect on the Eric Holder announcement, a fun quote from Barry McCaffrey, and some other subjects. It's all coming up for you in this last stash of February. We're getting down to the bottom of the bowl. It's time to reload. It's your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Vatican stance on UN drugs policy risks lives. The Vatican has been accused of putting the lives of thousands at risk by attempting to influence UN drugs policy on the eve of a major international declaration. The Vatican's objection to, quote, harm reduction strategies, end quote, such as needle exchange schemes, has ignited a fierce debate between the U.S. and European Union over how drugs should be tackled. A new UN declaration of intent is due to be signed in Vienna on the 11th of March. However, there are major disagreements between member countries over whether a commitment to, quote, harm reduction, end quote, should be included in the document, which is published every 10 years. Now, the Vatican has issued a statement that claims that using drugs is, quote, anti-life, end quote, and, quote, so-called harm reduction leads to liberalization of the use of drugs, end quote. The Vatican's last-minute intervention appears to have led Italy to withdrawing from the EU consensus on the issue and thrown the talks over the declaration into confusion. There is nothing so-called about the harm reduction demonstrated by clean needle exchange programs, and they do not lead to more use of drugs. But at Normal, we're concerned only with marijuana. So let me tackle the Vatican's anti-life statement. Certainly the Holy Say doesn't mean the use of all drugs is anti-life. Pope Benedict knows there are all manner of drugs that are used to save and prolong life. The Catholic Church is even accepting of using drugs for fun. While the Catholic Church hasn't taken a public stance on Viagra, an official at a local diocese told us, quote, this isn't in the same category as the pill. The pill has to do with human life, but Viagra doesn't. Viagra could be used within a marriage, end quote. Sure, that's true. And there are even some men who truly need Viagra in order to maintain a healthy sex life. But the non-medical use of Viagra as merely a chemical tool for having more fun cannot be overlooked. In other words, there are both medical and recreational uses for Viagra, just as there are for coca plants, opium poppies, and cannabis bushes. With the Holy Say condemning needle exchange, I must interpret that as abuse of drugs is anti-life. However, Viagra can kill you, and marijuana cannot. So how can the Vatican condemn needle exchange without condemning misuse of Viagra? Abusing Viagra will end your life. How much more anti-life can you get? Using marijuana recreationally can never kill you. How much more pro-life could a drug be? And if you have both Viagra and marijuana, you have a really excellent evening. Promoter cancels Phelps speaking events in Canada, Calgary, Alberta. Michael Phelps has been dropped as the keynote speaker at two events in Canada next week, with the promoter citing the Olympic champion swimmer's, quote, widely publicized alleged use of marijuana, end quote. Power Within Incorporated of Toronto, which organizes motivational speaking events, canceled Phelps' appearances at events at Calgary and Vancouver, the Toronto Globe and Mail reported. Power Within initially stood by the swimmer, but has now booked actor Martin Sheen as its keynote speaker for the Calgary event. The Vancouver event will feature Mehmet Oz, a regular on the Oprah Winfrey Show. The company, in a statement released to several Canadian media outlets, said, quote, due to widely publicized alleged use of marijuana by Michael Phelps, the decision has been made to present the program without Mr. Phelps's participation, end quote. So, pot smokers can't speak at motivational seminars, huh? I don't get it. For years, you tell us that marijuana will lead to a motivational syndrome. If Michael Phelps smokes pot and then manages to become the best swimmer of all time, doesn't that mean, by your logic, that he's ultra-motivated? I mean, he overcame that amotivation, right? Well, too bad they had to get Martin Sheen and Dr. Oz to cover. Nothing against them, but I think Matt Foley would be more interesting.
Now, as your father probably told you, my name is Matt Foley, and I am a motivational speaker. Now, let's get started by letting me give you a little bit of a scenario of what my life is all about. First off, I am 35 years old, I am divorced, and I live in a van down by the river.
Maine bill seeks changes in pot law. Augusta, Maine. The Maine Drug Enforcement Agency and Chiefs of Police Association are opposing a bill to modify possession limits and fines for marijuana possession. The Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee held a hearing on Wednesday on Representative Patsy Crockett's bill. The Augusta Democrat said her bill would streamline and clarify marijuana laws. The bill would make possession of up to 4 ounces of marijuana a civil violation. Possession of up to 1 1/4 ounce would remain punishable by a $350 fine. For possession of 1 1/4 to 4 ounces, the fine would be $700, with higher fines for second and subsequent offenses. The Maine Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers supported the bill, saying it increases fines while recognizing that possession of up to 4 ounces should be a civil offense and not a crime. Maine is already one of the 13 decriminalized states where possession of 1 1/4 ounce is just a civil fine, no arrest or criminal record. But beyond 1 1/4 ounce, possession is considered a rebuttable presumption of your intent to sell marijuana. This bill would double the fine if you're caught with 1 1/4 to 4 ounces, but still not treat you like a criminal.
Stupid Stoner Stories.
As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Story.
Man's accidental 911 call leads to arrest and drug charges.
According to police, Ricardo Thomas intended to dial Jamaica when he picked up the phone on July 15th around 7:30 p.m. Instead, he accidentally dialed 911. To call Jamaica from the United States, one has to dial 011 plus the 876 area code. It seems Thomas was a number off on the first three digits. When he realized that, he hung up and completed the call he intended. Meanwhile, an emergency dispatcher sent an officer to Thomas's home because of the dropped 911 call. When the officer arrived, he didn't find an emergency, but he did find a lot of marijuana. Sergeant Brian Plaff of the Bedminster Police said, quote, "He first smelled a strong odor of marijuana, and then he noticed marijuana plants growing on the deck around the back of the house," end quote. Authorities then obtained a search warrant for Thomas's home. According to Plaff, they seized 103 live marijuana plants that were in various stages of growth. They found 88 separate packages of processed marijuana and 11 pot plants that were cut and hung to dry. The plant is dried before it is packaged for sale. Thomas's property will be seized as drug forfeiture and auctioned off, Henry said. An auction date has not yet been scheduled.
I present this as a stupid stoner story only because Thomas had already pleaded guilty to drug dealing charges in another case and was scheduled for sentencing in April, and because he was growing a commercial level of plants out in the open following that plea. The misdialing 911 part isn't stupid. In fact, it illustrates yet another unintended social harm from marijuana prohibition. Suppose Thomas did need to call 911 because he heard a gunshot or some domestic violence next door, or saw a prowler or a wanted criminal. Is he going to let people or property come to harm because he won't call 911 and bring the cops down on his grow? How many cannabis consumers, even those not growing and just using personally, avoid going to police when a non-cannabis consumer wouldn't even hesitate?
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service.
Everyone move. Want to get your target tonight?
Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news.
Well, we made it through another week without any Olympic superstars being caught with bongs, but that doesn't mean the celebrity entertainment news in the world of cannabis has stopped. And to fill us in is CelebStoner.com Steve Bloom. Welcome back, Steve.
Hi, Russ. How are you?
I'm doing good. So are we now officially done with the Phelps week, or is there some other Phelps news we should get out of the way?
Well, you probably covered it this week. You know, he got knocked off of a program where he was supposed to do a seminar up in Canada that was actually taking place next week in Calgary and Vancouver. So he was dropped by this Canadian company, which does these self-help seminars. It would have been kind of interesting to have Michael Phelps there chatting about, you know, what he's been up to lately, you know, at the Power Within conference, you know, one of those conferences for inspiration, motivation, and spirit. And, you know, one of the things I kind of noted when we wrote about it was it's probably the best thing for Phelps. These motivational seminars are scams anyway. So, you know, it's probably the best thing for him that he got dumped off of that. But it's yet another thing where, you know, because of his bong hitting. It's interesting, this company out of Toronto originally supported him, and then they backed off.
Yeah, and with the Phelps news, and then with the California legalization bill being dropped, and all this that's going on in marijuana law reform, we're starting to get a lot of attention. And one of our reformers, Rob Campia from the Marijuana Policy Project, was recently on the television.
Yeah, well, Rob was on TV. He was doing an interview with Glenn Beck. He did a good job. You know, Glenn Beck, you know, went after him. You know, the first question was kind of that notorious question, which is, do you smoke pot? You know, instead of, like, you know, starting with something serious. You know, I've done a lot of interviews like that in the past, you know, for when I was with High Times, now with Celeb Stoner. You know, and you get often asked by the media, are you stoned now? You know, and it's like, well, you know, it's kind of a tough answer. I mean, because, you know, maybe you are, maybe you're not, but, you know, how do you want to present yourself?
Yeah.
Rob was good. Rob said, you know, yeah, I smoke occasionally.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't say yes, no, you know, a lot, more, less. And it was kind of a good way to answer. And Rob did a really good job of deflecting all of Beck's attempts to sort of make fun of him and make fun of this, you know, California effort to change the laws. You know, he was making fun of it, and I think Rob did a good job kind of deflecting it all. I mean, he said kind of a really stupid thing about New York. He said that, you know, New York pot is practically legal. You'd have to, you know, like step over a cop to get arrested.
Yeah.
He seemed to be totally clueless that 40,000 or more people get arrested every year in New York, and New York is the marijuana arrest capital of the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, Beck was a little bit out of it, but at the same time, he did out himself.
Yeah, and you know, when guys like Beck and these interviewers come out with that, you know, are you high kind of question, I always think I ought to just say, are you drunk? You know, just respond just that way. Why would you think I'm high any more than you than I should think you're drunk?
It really does come with the territory, but that's a good response.
Yeah. And you know, as I watched that interview, I thought, you know, I thought that Beck was kind of, you know, internally contradictory, which isn't surprising, but he kept saying how, you know, I'm a libertarian. I don't care. You know, do what you want. I'm a libertarian. Go ahead. But then when it was legalizing marijuana to make money, he had a problem with it, which seems to me to be completely counter to what libertarians usually are saying.
Right.
Yeah. And well, that wasn't the only entertainment news we need to get to. Of course, the big, you know, on the Hollywood side of things would be the Oscars this year.
Right. The Oscars, you know, took place last Sunday. And so we're about a week removed from that. And, you know, everybody knows, you know, I don't have to tell people who won. You know, it was a big year for Slumdog Millionaire. And that was Celeb Stoner's fave, a lot of people's fave. The movie's not a stoner movie in any shape or form. Set in a kind of a very stony country, let's just say India. But there's, you know, there's nothing about the movie that really kind of like lends to a stoner appeal. But it's just a great film. It's also by Danny Boyle, who is a stoner filmmaker. He made Train Spotting and The Beach. So he's kind of one of our guys. And so we were kind of pushing for Boyle or Gus Van Sant to win the Best Directing Awards, either or, both guys kind of having coming from the stoner movie milieu. Gus Van Sant, famous for Drugstore Cowboy and My Own Private Idaho, you know, druggy sort of films. And so it turns, you know, it went Boyle's direction, which was a good thing. And it turned out they did split things a little bit. I guess during the night, you know, you look for little stony elements that happen. And probably the highlight of the night for me was when Seth Rogen, one of our celeb stoners,
right,
and James Franco did this little routine while they were watching the comedy reel. And then Rogen came out to give out an award, and he's holding on to the Oscar, and he goes, "Can you make a pipe out of this?" Or I think the line was, "Can you make this into a pipe?"
Yeah.
He never misses a moment in prime time to make us like a nice little stony joke. So you got to love Seth Rogen.
Yeah, good for him. And, you know, I was rooting for Gus Van Sant just because he's from here in Portland.
That's right. Portland guy.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned a couple of your celeb stoners. You've got a new celeb stoner. And for maybe people that are kind of new to listening to The Stash, explain to them, you know, what the whole voting thing is with celeb stoner.
Well, when we started the site a couple of years ago, back at December 2006, we seeded the site with seven top celeb stoners to get the idea across of, you know, who is a celeb stoner and who are we going to be focusing on the site. So it's always like almost a quiz. Let me throw it out to you. Can you guess the top seven, or at least give me three or four?
Oh, boy. I would have to think Bill Maher would be up in there, Cheech and Chong.
Chong, too.
You know, Cameron Diaz would be a celeb stoner.
Use a vote, you know, but I won't embarrass you or, you know, put you on the hot spot here. But, I mean, you know, so there was Woody Harrelson, Snoop Dogg.
Really?
We had Paul McCartney and Jack Black. I think that might add up to seven there, as we just said. So those are the first seven. And then from that point on, it has become a vote. So every month we add a new top celeb stoner based on the voting on the site, and the question on the poll is who should be the next top celeb stoner. Currently, we have a poll up right now with Bill Murray and B-Real, Cisco Adler, Paris Hilton, Rick Steves, and Ron White. And so we let people decide. It's very much a popular vote, and, you know, sometimes we want somebody else to win, but it's not up to us. It's really up to the readers of the site. So the latest addition to Top Celeb Stoners is Drew Barrymore, who won the most recent poll. And people might wonder, well, why Drew Barrymore? Well, you know, she has this sort of reputation, although she's not someone who's gone on record, kind of like Cameron Diaz. You know, she hasn't really gone on record very much to talk about marijuana, though there is the revealing photo of Drew and Cameron in Hawaii in 2007 smoking a joint on the beach. Now, Cameron looked right at the camera with the joint, and that's the real money shot, but Drew had her back to the camera, and she was passing the joint in the series of photos. But going back historically, for me, I had met Drew Barrymore several times during my years with High Times. One time backstage at a Hole concert with Courtney Love, and back in like 94, if I recall correctly, it was Lollapalooza in New York. Cypress Hill was on the bill, so I had great backstage access that year. And I ran into, you know, just in schmoozing around the backstage area, I ran into Drew Barrymore. And after the Hole show, we all went into a trailer and smoked pot. And then years later, I had met Drew again at a Kings of Leon show here in New York. Same thing, everybody downstairs afterwards, a lot of pot around, Drew smoking pot. And I've heard lately from friends in California that she's a pretty regular pot smoker. So you know, Drew definitely, you know, qualifies.
Yeah, congratulations to Drew Barrymore. And I was wondering if you'd seen the story on Saturday Night Live alumnus Jim Brewer talking about kicking his marijuana addiction.
Yeah, I did. You know, I actually saw it on your site, and thanks for digging that out. It's interesting because Jim Brewer was one of the hosts of the Stony Awards a few years ago, the show that I created for High Times that celebrates movies and stoner movies and stoner TV and stuff like that. And Brewer was really one of my favorite hosts we ever had. And it was interesting. Brewer, you know, when he was on SNL, during the period of time when he appeared in Half Baked, you really kind of felt like Brewer was going to be the next big stoner comic. He really just, you know, embodied. He had that kind of like the eyelids were sort of like just really droopy, and you know, he just kind of always looks perpetually stoned.
Yeah.
And then of course in Half Baked, I mean, who can forget every time he would do that little thing with his thumb, faking that he was, you know, it's a lighter. It's like, come on, let's light up, dude, let's light up. I mean, he's just out of control.
Yeah.
Over the top, you know, stoner dude in that movie. And you know, kind of a great buddies kind of movie with Dave Chappelle. And he kind of left that behind after he left SNL in a way. He kind of didn't really, I think, want to be typecast as that guy. Even though he came and did our Stony Awards, and he was very stony that night, you know, he seemed like he had kind of left it behind. I'd seen him live, and he really wasn't doing too much of the stoner material that he sort of got famous for it on SNL. So now I do see that, you know, he has made some comments about marijuana being a problem for him in his life and needing to sort of leave it behind. And he's got a special coming up on Comedy Central in June where I guess he'll let people know a little bit more about it. The special's called Let's Clear the Air. And his quote is, I'll stop for a week. And then I feel like, well, it's all right to do on Thursday night. Everybody's in bed. It'll help me sleep until finally I went, just get rid of it and let's just start this run. Each day I would struggle, and this day I struggle. I never ever thought I would say, you know, oh, that's for drinkers or that's drug addicts, but every day I struggle a little bit. I loved it. This was the problem. Will I walk away forever? I don't know. So in other words, he's basically saying that, you know, he was a guy who maybe smoked a lot and really kind of couldn't pull himself away. He wanted to, and he felt it was difficult. Now, I don't think marijuana is addictive, but maybe for some people it's a little harder to make the break, and maybe it was for him. So
yeah,
he's being kind of honest. You know, I don't think he's really saying negative things. I don't think he's being anti-pot. He's just kind of like letting people know that it's not something he does anymore, and he's kind of trying to kind of explain. You know, Jim's a family guy, and, you know, he kind of maybe left that kind of more wild and crazy single life behind and, you know, just settled down, you know. So, you know, I don't begrudge Jim. I think he's a great guy, and we're always going to love his characters that he did on SNL, Goat Boy, and, you know, his great half-baked character. So, you know, Jim could do whatever he wants. He's a great comedian.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, do you have any insight or background on his SNL years? In that article, you know, he mentions how he was hired by someone that liked him, and then that guy left, and somebody else came in that didn't like him, and he felt kind of ostracized at SNL. Do you have any info on that?
I really don't know that. I never really learned why he left. But let's just say that, you know, this is the show that let Sarah Silverman get away.
Yeah, that's true.
I do love SNL, and, you know, but every once in a while they make a mistake in terms of, like, just not realizing the talent they have on board. Now, obviously, I mean, Brewer had made a big impression. You know, he was one of the main guys at the time when he was on the show, so it's not like he didn't get his fair, you know, opportunity. But Sarah Silverman didn't. I mean,
right.
I remember watching Sarah when she was pretty much a kid on that show. I think she was 20 years old, and she was playing hippie chick characters. But she was like, you know, if you notice now when you watch the show, some of the women who are kind of coming up in the cast, you know, don't really get a lot of time. Sarah was like one of those where she didn't really get a lot of time. And then she got a, you know, and then she got a pink slip. You know, it's like, okay, we don't need you anymore. And it's like, oh, really? And then so she sort of went off her own. I'm sure it really was pretty hurtful and very upsetting for her to lose that gig at such a young age. I'm sure she wasn't prepared for that kind of rejection. But you know, obviously Sarah went on to prove that she's, you know, probably the best female comic of her own, of this generation. So they made a big mistake, and perhaps they made a big mistake with Brewer too.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that and see. And of course that Jim Brewer special comes out later this summer, so we'll see what he has to say at that time, and we can talk about that on the Friday after.
Say one more thing.
Sure.
Just a personal hype. Sleb Stoner is working with Reefer Poker, and we have a Sleb Stoner Poker Tournament tomorrow. That's Saturday, the 28th at 4:20. If you go to the website and you click on the banner for the tournament for Reefer Poker, it'll take you to the Sleb Stoner $200 free roll. So you get a $200 kind of edge going into the tournament. So join the Sleb Stoner tournament.
All right. Steve Bloom joins us every Friday for the SlebStoner.com Celebrity Cannabis Entertainment Report. Thanks a lot,
right,
Steve.
Thanks a lot, Russ.
Cannabis.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit potculturebook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. It's a wrap on Friday, and DJ Slim wraps up this week with I Wanna Be High from his new CD, Hemp Hits. Boston veteran DJ Slim is back in a cloud of smoke with his third CD, Hemp Hits, released by his record company, Puff Pass Records. The CD features Big Shug, Rip Shop, and other great artists. DJ Slim is blazing Boston's underground hip-hop music into the national spotlight and is making noise in 2009. After performing at the American Marijuana Music Awards event in Brooklyn, DJ Slim is currently nominated in 2009's Marijuana Music Awards and the High Times Doobie Awards. Check out Boston's highest DJ, DJ Slim, at myspace.com/puffpassrecords. And registered stashers can access an MP3 download of this tune. It's I Wanna Be High by DJ Slim.
High in the evening, high all damn day long. You don't understand, cause I got the bomb. I ain't talking about the brown shit, talking about them nuggets with the colored hairs around it. You know who I be, Mr. Puff Pass Immaculate. Always smoke the bomb, we make people wanna ask for it. No, I'm not the strip. contributed. I'm just a smoker. Sit back, pack my bowl, then I watch the white smoke roll up. I tried drinking beers and taking shots from a fifth, but I tell you right now, getting high is the shit. I ain't never killed no one or brought harm to anybody, except a few restaurants ended up dearly departed. I'm not the hottest MC, but I am sure the highest. And when it comes to smoking and rapping, I won't retire. If you wanna get high, come hang with me. America's most weeded, I stay high constantly. Hooking the song, I wanna be high, so like be real, I take a hit from the bar. Why lie to you, man? I take more than a few. I smoke toke until the night is through. I like to mix my weed with hash, to commence to rolling all that shit up in some smoke clear wraps. Go to the studio, bang out a dozen rhymes. That's what I like to call utilizing my high. People wanna get me high because they like my music. If the weed's bomb, cool. If it's not, keep it moving. I wanna get high, the smoke's coming out my ears. I wanna get high like Cheech and Chong or Britney Spears. You know she was stone dancing on stage with. Must have got a hold of K-Fed sticks and stems. Bullshit weed like that could end your career. That's why DJ Slim only puffs on the bomb is hell. Cottonmouth King, till my mouth gets so dry, man, I'll drink anything. I wanna get high cause God put this here for me and you. I wanna get high, why? Because I'm loyal to my boo. Mary Jane's been there so much for me. That's why I couldn't go a day without blazing some trees. I fly to Amsterdam in November for Cannabis Cup. Come back to Boston on the red eye in time for work. People think I'm joking about this, no lie. Just like Afro Man song said, I love to get high. For Bush's last day in office, I got a shipment of some good weed to get the celebration popping. A lot of people don't think I'm high constantly, cause my eyes aren't red. I tell them that's by Z. You can call me Mr. Get High and Mr. Talk a Lot, cause I'm usually never seen without weed in my mouth.
St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Seems like week after week, we just continue to get more and more stories about marijuana and marijuana law reform. And joining us real quickly to talk about them in between radio interviews, a very busy man, the executive director of Normal, Alan St. Pierre. Welcome back, Alan.
Hey, Russ, what's happening?
Lots is happening, as you're well aware. And I just wanted to get your reaction to a couple of clips that have been real popular on the Stash this week. Here's this first one. This, of course, is from Attorney General Eric Holder.
Right after the inauguration, there were some raids on California medical marijuana dispensaries. Was that a deliberate decision by you, by the Justice Department? Was that a prediction of policy going forward? Do you expect those sorts of raids to continue?
No.
What the president said during the campaign.
Well, what the president said during the campaign, you'll be surprised to know, will be consistent with what we'll be doing here in law enforcement. He was my boss during the campaign. He is formally and technically and by law my boss now. And so what he said during the campaign is now American policy.
What do you think of Eric Holder's remarks there?
Well, I think for a lot of marijuana law reform activists, 225 just might replace 420, Russ.
I think so.
I mean, when you look at the continuum of marijuana law reform over a 40-year period, there are very few times there has been a proclamation, a statement from the federal government that speaks to reform. I really can't remember one since Jimmy Carter, August 2nd, 1977, asked Congress to pass a decriminalization law. I think it's been that long since we've heard something virtually this positive come out of Washington.
Did you think Holder was kind of biting his teeth while he was having to say that, or do you think he's just, you know, following orders well, or that his heart's not in this? How do you feel about his personal?
Well, having mixed it up with him a number of times before on the issue of marijuana, I get the feeling that this is not something of his own making, that he is not terribly comfortable, but he's a very good foot soldier. He's been taking orders for a long time and implementing policies that maybe he did not agree with. I certainly got the feeling in 1998 when he was at the Justice Department and essentially making the argument that, and this was being pushed by the Clinton administration and notably Rahm Emanuel, today's chief of staff and head domestic policy advisor, that they tasked Mr. Holder to make the legal argument that patients could not have private conversations with their doctors about medical marijuana. That a liberal Democrat would be making the argument that a patient couldn't be having a private conversation with their doctor was such an affront to the First Amendment. And thankfully, as you can imagine, we won in that legal battle. But Mr. Holder, I don't think he believes that that was the right course of action, but as a dutiful foot soldier, as a good lawyer following the boss's instructions, that's what he did.
How about any satisfaction to having the acting administrator of the DEA, Michelle Leonhardt, standing there?
Well, yes, and the fact that she's got to hear that loud and clear. If there was any confusion after the Lake Tahoe raids, a week later with the multiple raids in the L.A. Basin, if she didn't get it, if she didn't hear that, she either had wax in her ear or she is really ignorant. But my feeling is that she's probably the most pragmatic of the administrators we've had in years over at the DEA. She's fought her way to the top of that. She's been acknowledged as being not an ideologue as compared to, say, Asa Hutchins a couple years ago. So I think that she probably has heard Mr. Obama and Mr. Holder loud and clear on this. Let's hope.
Yeah, let's hope so. Now, speaking of other clips and other former drug officials in the government, General Barry McCaffrey, retired general, was at the Council of Foreign Relations on Monday and had this interesting quote to say.
Ed Schumacher-Matos from Harvard. Same thing. But I just take it one step further. Why not just legalize drugs?
Yeah. Okay. The demand side issues.
You've got to let
go
me
first.
You know, there's
you
a
go first.
There's
you're
a
not
ten,
a drug nut too.
There's a 10-minute answer. There's an hour answer. There's a 3-day answer. And fortunately, since I'm not in public life, I actually don't care. I care about 6th graders through 12th graders. If you're 40 years old and you're living in Oregon and you have 12 giant pot plants in the back of your log cabin, knock yourself out.
So, Alan, what do you think? I'm about 40. Should I put 12 giant pot plants in my backyard?
Well, Jim, McCaffrey is certainly no friend to sane thinking on this topic, and has no credibility in even commenting on medical marijuana. He should be ashamed to even be brought in as an expert or to be quoted from. The hundreds of thousands of people that suffered under his regime, the science that was lost and twisted by him upholding Mr. Clinton, Mr. Emanuel's, and basically Mr. Holder's anti-marijuana-isms of the day.
Yeah, and this idea that he says he doesn't care because he's not in public life anymore. He doesn't care. He's worried about the 6th to 12th graders, but he doesn't care if you adults do it. That doesn't seem very realistic a view from him either.
No, he's as confused as can possibly be for years and years. Reformers rhetorically would say, oh, you're so concerned about children? Okay, fine. Drug test the children every day of their lives. Go ahead. Now, what do you say about adults? Adults being able to use marijuana responsibly. He was never willing to make that deal.
Yeah, they're always, it's always turned to the either the heroin argument or the what about the children argument. They can't argue against the marijuana.
Oh, yeah, it's always, always, always a counter-argument that just isn't based in reality.
Alan St. Pierre is the executive director of Normal and a very, very busy man on the streets of Washington, D.C. Thanks so much, Alan.
Hey, thanks, Russ, and not amotivated either.
That's right. Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with another reminder to take a moment to get involved in becoming a part of the end of adult marijuana prohibition. It's going to take all of us working together, and you can do your part. It's simple. Go to stash.normal.org, click on the big map of the United States, and you'll see a list of states where there is marijuana law reform legislation moving forward. You can comment on any of these and send letters to the elected representatives in those states. You don't have to be a resident of that state. Our opponents do it all the time, so it's time for us to spread the growing truth about cannabis. Click on the big map and get those letters out to the elected officials. Thanks for joining us this week for the podcast for the biggest month in Daily Audio Stash history, traffic-wise. Month after month, we continue to grow, and it's all because of great stashers like you. Thanks for downloading us, and tell your friends. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.